Welcome to our spotlight portion of the show. Slick had to step out for a moment, but I have some special guests with me. I figured since we had our main topic this week of Transformers, we'd bring some experts in. One of our first guests is our big daddy of the forums, the guy who owns us, Timmy. Say hi, Timmy.
Hi, Timmy Wimey. Hi.
Joining us from Moonbase 2, you've heard his voice before. We've got the sweet audio chocolate himself, Andy.
Hey, guys. It's a big sausage fest tonight, it seems.
And our first and a first-timer, another little sultry voice that we have, from the Underbase comic review, we have Matt. King Griffin.
I am a random fandom virgin. You are popping my cherry this very evening.
Oh, wow.
Welcome to the Random Fandom with Nick and Dick.
Nick and Dicks.
As I always would think, we're going to have a clean podcast. Nope.
No, get that explicit button ready.
Well...
The problem is that every time you bring me into the show, Nicole, you should know this by now. You should know this.
I know. Well, thank you guys for joining me. I don't know how this conversation is going to go, but right now, thank you. So, yeah, our main topic this week is Transformers. Now, why Transformers? We held off on talking about this topic for a while because the movies come out. But don't worry, we're not going to be talking... We're not going to be doing movie reviews.
Thank goodness.
We're just going to talk about the whole fandom, the things that we like, the things that we dislike. Actually, let me start off with this. How did you guys get into Transformers? What was your first exposure to Transformers?
Who wants to go first?
I guess I'd better go first, since though I'm the oldest of the three chaps here.
Let's not make age jokes.
Well, so many age jokes. I'm not 40! Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm not. Anyway, I first got introduced to the Transformers via Timmy Mallett. Those of you in America who don't know who he is, good for you, because, quite frankly, we didn't want him. We first got exposed to this great TV show called GoBots during the summer months, and I can't remember whether it was the springtime or the next summertime, but Timmy Mallett told us, unfortunately, the GoBots were botting off, but we managed to find something else to replace them with, and it's Transformers. And we got the Transformers basically given to us in tiny little spoonfuls. Like your standard 25-minute-long episode was actually given to us in Britain in tiny little less than 5-minute chunks each day. So it was like a 5-part serial. We never had a full episode. And that's how we pretty much watched it. Apart from the movie, which I watched in the cinema, and it really did define me as a human being right up to my adult life, watching my hero die on the slab turning grey and loads of people crying around him. Yes, that really did define my life as a human being. I now actually like to invigorate people in their sleep, but we don't worry about that, people. No, we don't worry about that. Actually, yeah, we do. You do need to worry about that. I watched the 1986 movie in cinemas, and other than that, that's pretty much how I got exposed to it. That, the comic books, the Lady Bird audio tapes, you know, I lapped it up. I really did lap it up.
That's good. What about you, King Grimmy? What was your first exposure to Transformers?
Well, I don't remember much of my childhood, so I can't remember my first exposure, but my first memories of it are, or the memories that I retain from my childhood of Transformers, are watching Prime die on the big screen, because I think that scarred every child of our generation for life. And the scene in The Rebirth when the headmasters put their heads on for the first time. And I lived in Canada at the time, so I saw it when it was aired rather than on a VHS tape some years later. So that must have been, what, about 88? But I don't really remember too much about it, but I do remember suddenly getting the toys and then just being surrounded by a extremely large number of them. And I think my first standout memory is probably Christmas, probably 88, around that time, getting Scorponok. And kind of, because that was I went away from G.I. Joe to be a Transformers fan, really, in the long term, because I was always a Joe fan. And yeah, all of a sudden, these giant transforming robots, and I've got one that turns into a scorpion, and my life is now complete at 9 years old, 8 years old. I could have died a happy boy at that point.
So do you still have your Scorponok?
I don't. I sold everything. I sold pretty much everything I had G1, which was probably about 100 bots, if not more, for about 50 quid.
Wow.
I managed to keep Thrust, who needs many parts, and Highbrow, who's complete. But I know the person I sold them to, and he's about to move into his own house, so he's got to clear all his stuff out of his loft, and I know my toys are still there, so I'm going to buy them back off him.
For the same price?
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice. Nice. What about you, Andy? How were you first introduced? Since you're the youngest of us.
It's really hard to remember. The earliest memory I have of Transformers is going to my grandparents' house in a town called Ashington. And we went to Ashington Town Centre, I think, and went to a Woolies, and I got a Monster Pretender Scowl as my very first Transformer. Bar that, the only thing I can really remember is that I was introduced as potentially the DJ Cat Show. That was a kids show on Sky. I've sent you a picture of DJ Cat and his fantastic puppet.
Okay.
I forgot about this. This was on Sky One.
That.
Yeah, the DJ Cat Show. Yeah, so this is pretty much how I'm sure this is how I watched my Transformers back in the day. Something that was around this time period. Maybe it was Funhouse or something weird.
Yeah, I was really, really jealous of people that had Sky, because the other shows in the DJ Cat Show was all the episodes of Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles that the BBC weren't putting out. Animated Star Trek, which I really digged. And He-Man, and then it used to be followed by an episode of Different Strokes, and I turned it off.
They also had Power Rangers and X-Men and Spider-Man on there as well in later years.
Dear, that really takes me back. I was really jealous of anybody that actually owned it. In Wales, I used to go and visit my mate's place, actually, just to watch these programs. But we didn't have satellite ourselves until 97.
Well, Timmy, what was your first Transformer?
Powerglide. Minibot G1 Powerglide.
Okay. Sorry about that. Andy, go ahead, continue. I just wanted to ask that real quick.
I was just going to say that's pretty much all I remember about it.
See, I was at the perfect age when Transformers came out. I was 8 years old, and of course we had the block of TV shows, after school shows, and so we just watched it. It was like G.I. Joe Transformers, and it was She-Ra and like Jem and the Holograms. I mean, it was just this whole block of TV shows that you just rush home to go home and watch for 2 to 3 hours, you know, leave mom to be, you know. I think that's what made American Mom so happy. You know, you had 2 or 3 hours to yourself while your kids just sat in front of the TV and engaged in these TV shows. So,
and shut the hell up for a bit of time.
Exactly. Exactly.
The 80s, saving mums across the planet.
Exactly.
I mean, replacement
cartoons. But see, my problem was when the movie came out, I lived in such a small town, we didn't have a movie theater. And so between seasons 2 and 3, that's when the movie came out. I didn't see the movie. So when season 3 came on, I was like, who are these people? What happened? I was so confused because the nearest theater was like 50 miles away. And, you know, my mom didn't want to take us to see a cartoon, you know. So.
Well, funny enough, in Britain, we didn't get, I think, a vast majority of season two and none of season three on British TV at all. I think they eventually aired it on Sky, but we never had it on terrestrial TV at all. The only exposure, I don't know if it's the same for you, Matt, but the only exposure we really had to anything like Hot Rod or anything like that was through the comic books.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. I mean, as I say, I lived in the States or in Canada, so I had, you know, sort of the offhand of what came out in America. So we pretty much just absorbed that. But yeah, within the UK, whenever we came back, it was very much just the comic. So.
Now, you guys had different comics then. The UK market had different comics than the US comics. What did you guys have, the timelines? Oh my gosh, I can't remember. Which one was it?
What we had was the Marvel UK. Now, what they did was we would have, I can't remember whether it was one every 2 weeks, but they were churning the comic books out more than the American run had the chance to print. So there would be this lull every now and again in which the British needed to fill in that content. And that's where people like Sam Furman stepped in. And they basically made their own material to fill the void until they could catch up with the Americans again. We got it quite early.
Oh, no, I was just saying, would it be worth it for someone to go back and try to find those comics? Did you find them worth reading?
Oh, yes. I've got the full run of original issues with all the letters pages and everything in.
Oh, wow.
I would strongly recommend going and get it, because basically you've got the US story and then the British stories breathe flesh onto the bones of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, take a major example here. In the American run, Cyclonus and Scourge just appeared as Target Masters. There was no rhyme or reason why they were, what they were doing in the present day or anything like that. What we got was a full explanation in the form of the Legacy of Unicron, where basically Cyclonus and Scourge were taken back through time, I think, along with Death's Head. And they ended up joining the modern day Decepticons and become Target Masters. You never got that in America. You never got that. That was explained simply by what they deem filler material over here.
Now, have all of you read the U.S. Marvel stuff from back in the day?
No.
No?
I haven't stuff because it's out of my time.
I actually have all of them. you could have read while you're over here, Andy.
I know people get really angry about this for some bizarre reason, but I just can't get past the artwork, or at least the coloring. It's too old school for me.
It's very dated.
Yeah.
Some of the stories aren't bad, though.
The certain artwork, I can totally agree with Andy. It was definitely of its time. When you've got particular artists like Andrew Wildman, I think some guy over at IDW, I'm trying to remember if it was Josh Burcham or not. I don't know. But they actually took the liberty of completely recolouring it and made it look like a modern day thing, and it totally and utterly worked. But then you got some other artists that were really just there to do a job. And the art really does show. I mean, I still think that the Underbase saga totally got hurt by the artwork during that. I mean, as epic as it was storyline-wise, if you look at the artwork of it now, you're like looking at toys basically being knocked down by Starscream.
Yeah.
So I can't really take the Underbase saga all that seriously as a consequence. But I suppose under the better artist, as it were, that would have been an awesome, awesome storyline and would have stood the test of time.
Well, all of us here read the comic books. What would you say some of the best storylines are, even between Marvel, Dreamwave, and IDW?
I can't really say anything on regards of IDW. That's more Matt's territory. But with me, Marvel, I'd say definitely check out, funny enough, Marvel UK Stories, Target 2006, Time Wars, and basically Legacy of Unicron as well. Those are three of my standout storylines from that era. Dreamwave-wise, I'd say War of Vin's always a good one to go with. It's always a safe bet. IDW, I can't vouch for modern day stuff, but I think some of the earlier stuff with Simon Furman were really, really good. Stuff like Infiltration and that was a good sort of universe builder.
What about you, Andy? What would you suggest for reading?
Well, since, like I say, I haven't read any of the Marvel stuff, really. So it's for me, between IDW and Dreamwave, and I really enjoyed a lot of the Dreamwave stuff, but that was really before I'd read a lot of comics, so I may be clouded by just the love of getting into comics at that point, but I really do like a lot of those stories from Dreamwave, even though they had growing pains, and then you have stuff like the Micromaster series. There's some really good stuff in there.
Ooh,
I think.
Yeah.
And then King Griffey, you're our comic book guy over there at the Underbase. What would you suggest for people to read? I know you're a big fan of Bumblebee. I know you suggest that to everyone.
I would not suggest that anybody even wipes their ass with that book. That said, though, they have just released a worse book than Bumblebee, and I didn't think that was possible.
Oh, would that be Heart of Darkness?
That would be Heart of Darkness.
He refused to review it on his own show. It was so bad.
Yep. I would say best stories for me, G1 wise, I'd go back as far as The Enemy Within, which was about issue 13-14 of the Marvel UK comics, around that era, which was a really damn good story of Brawn and Starscream duking it out in toy mode for the most part, which was kind of weird. But yeah, again, the artwork was fairly of its time, but the actual storyline is superbly written. Dreamwave, stepping forward a bit. Dreamwave, for me, the book which I still think is probably my favourite Transformers fiction of all time is War and Peace, which is the second run of the G1 series, mainly because at one stage Ultra Magnus in truck mode runs straight into Menasor's face. That, for me, is a good reason to like a book. IDW-wise, other than the obvious Last Stand of the Wreckers, I would say actually what's coming out of the ongoing at the moment is probably the best work they've ever done.
Really? Because the ongoing's been getting a lot of slack. Well, it's just recently starting to pick up, I guess. So it had a kind of a lull there for a while.
Thanks for reminding me about Last Stand of the Wreckers, by the way, Matt. I completely forgot about it.
Yeah, Last Stand of the Wreckers was a great story. Okay.
Absolutely. Well, need more of that.
Well, what about the Beast Era? Were you guys a fan of Transformers Beast Era?
In retrospect, yes. Now I am.
I always liked it.
Pretty much same with me. When the toys came out, I was feeling very, very met about it. I was very much a truck, not monkey guy. And the idea of them having this sort of organic mode, I was like, okay, you're now really, really scraping the barrel there, guys. And I literally ignored all aspects of Beast Wars until much later in the day. I think it was after RID I started to give a damn about it. But after going in, I'd say one of the most best cast in the world, even though 90% of it is Scott McNeil.
Nothing wrong with that.
And definitely some really good, well-done character development. So, yeah, Beast Wars, after retrospect, as Matt says, really, really well done.
What about you, Andy? Do you prefer the Beast Era?
I wouldn't say I prefer it, but I did enjoy it quite a lot when I watched it, because it was the first Transformers stuff we'd got in years. So I was like, okay, this is just a different way of going. The only problem I had with it was... the only way I was able to see it was on a channel here called Channel 5, and I didn't know how to get an unfuzzy image of Channel 5. So whenever I saw an episode, if I managed to, it was always black and white and barely visible. So the main exposure I had to Beast Wars, I suppose, was when I went over to America the first couple of times. And I was lucky enough to see it before I went out in the mornings.
Oh, cool.
Mm.
And then, obviously, the internet came around years later, and I was able to procure copies of it, thanks to America putting them out on DVDs. And me finding out how to hack my DVD player.
Battle chestnut, yes.
Yeah.
Now, did any of you guys pick up the toys when they first came out, or have you recently just started, when I say recently, I'm like the past 5 years, started picking up the beast mode stuff?
For me, actually, it was, I actually started picking up my first Beast Wars, like, to series collect, roughly this time last year. I made the conscious decision to collect Beast Wars Neo, the Japanese-only series. Because my Alternators collection was coming to an end and I wanted to start collecting something else. And at that point, I'd only just finished watching Beast Wars the first time through. I'd watched Beast Machines a couple of years ago. But it wasn't on any strength of the fiction. I just damn well love the fact that you've got a triple-changing bunny, rabbit, and penguin. And I need an excuse to own those toys. Yeah. Break for the win every time.
Do you have Break?
I don't have Break yet. I'm gutted. I need it. But I've told you before, I've got to do the versus two packs. Otherwise, it's too easy. Gotta go extreme, man.
Well, I know Andy got a Stampy at BotCon. Well, before BotCon.
Yeah, Stampy's the dude.
Stampy's awesome. He's, in case people don't know, he changes into a rabbit.
He's a freaking bunny rabbit that turns into a pair of Target Master scissors.
It's awesome. Okay, so what do you guys prefer more, Beast Wars or Beast Machines?
I like to actually separate them as two completely distinct, different, parallel worlds, so I don't mind them for what they are. I know it's a cop-out answer. I'd like to swing over to Beast Wars, though, because at least you had 3 seasons' worth of development there. But ultimately, I didn't mind Beast Machines.
What about you, Andy?
I definitely preferred Beast Machines. It had a lot more character development. There was a lot more to it. It was a lot darker. The animation style was a lot better because it held up a lot better over time compared to the Beast Wars stuff, which is extremely dated now. I mean, Beast Machines is dated, but the art style helps it out quite a lot. I don't know, bar the ending, which because of the graphics kind of held it back a bit, I really enjoyed everything about it, and I thought the voice acting was very good.
Nice. What about you, Matt?
I am all about Beast Machines. I think it was the more mature story. I think there was very few filler episodes. Everything had a point. I just think it's actually one of the strongest Transformers series ever made.
See, this surprises me because you guys seem to be one of the few groups of people that will actually say Beast Machines. Most people I know, they don't care for Beast Machines. They say it got too political, too religious. Beast Wars was just more fun, you know.
This is the thing, though. I think with Beast Machines, it took a lot of risks for what it was. It pushed the envelope somewhat. And for the most part, people don't tend to really handle that so much. The other problem with Beast Machines is it came off the back of 3 years' worth of Beast Wars, a series that managed to win over a lot of people who by then didn't really come into it, either didn't want to come into it and got won over, or people that only just started watching Transformers through that. So when it suddenly changed the status quo like that, it kind of alienated quite a few of them to the point where, no, we don't know, it doesn't exist. But like I said before, with me, I can just take both series as their own distinct own series without needing to worry about any kind of continuity. And doing it that way, I can definitely sort of swallow Beast Machines a lot better and take it for what it is. and it's fine with me.
Mm. You know, I don't think it helps that the Beast Machines toy line was crap.
Yeah.
Beast Machines was shite.
Yeah. There's some kind of okay-ish ones in there, but you really have to kind of look for them.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, just say, I mean, one of my favorite toys that I tinker around with is K9, and you see all the flaws with that guy. I just like the fact I've got a transforming Littlest Hobo.
I will say the Night Adder's pretty good. He's one of the snake formers, one of the very few. Mm. Or is it Night Adder? I can't remember which. Also, I like the Obsidian toy. He's pretty cool. The Black Arachne is pretty good as well.
Most of them were surpassed by toys that came before them. That was the problem in my eyes.
Yeah.
You look at the Black Arachne, for example, and you're right, it's not a bad toy at all. But you look at the Transmetal 2 Black Arachne.
I don't think it's very fair to compare them, though, because one's a deluxe and one's a Voyager / Mega or something.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
Transmetal 2 Megatron.
Oh.
I Transmetal 2 Megatron's better.
Roller skates.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, but you can ignore the roller skates.
They were good.
Come on, the roller skates were awesome.
Why would you ignore the roller skates? It made him far cooler than any other Megatron before him.
It did make him sinister as hell when he does that scene where he's talking and skating around the room. That was just freaky in that episode. I can't even remember which episode it was, but that freaked me out. It's a skating, purple, metallic dinosaur threatening people.
See, if that can't win you over, nothing can. Right there.
That's the first Transformer in my flat. Upon you coming in through my door and going up the stairs, that's the first thing that greets you. Is Transmetal 2 Megatron staring right at you.
Awesome.
I'm holding a little sign just saying, yes.
Oh, man, do that.
Well, you can get David Kay to sign your thing at AA.
Yeah, there you go. Years,
signed by David Kay.
I wish I kept the packaging now.
Well, we move on from the Beast era to the Unicron trilogy. We've got RAD as well. Now, you either love this era or you hate it. What are your opinions on this era?
Shall we start with RID? Let's play safe first.
Okay.
RID.
Really? You think
RID is safe? RID safe because you got Skybite.
I would say it is, because at least you can have fun with it. I mean, the really silly stuff, it's just a fun show. I mean, it doesn't exactly drag out. It's a nice self-contained story. You've got weird Japanese boy with Yu-Gi-Oh hair, but, you know, you can get around that. I tend to think of it as just a fun little show and just leave it at that. And the toys coming from that, apart from possibly the Autobot brothers, for the most part, they're pretty cool. I've got Skybite. I've got my Optimus Prime, you know.
To be fair, though, Matt, that line was mainly repaints for the most part, with only very slight remolds.
Yeah, but, you know, you have to...
It was the cheapest Transformers line we've ever had.
Yeah.
Don't steal my dream, Millman!
I'm sorry. I'm just putting forward the facts.
And the show at times was almost unwatchably twee. And just completely... It's only just the second worst show Transformers ever made because Energon exists. And Energon is just... Well, I think Brains explained it best in Dark of the Moon when he climbed on board the Decepticon ship. It's a cluster...
No, the thing that why I like RID, it was the very last episode. Come on, Skybite got his dream. You finally see a Decepticon get what he wants.
Well, you kind of did Bossinator as well, but that's another thing entirely.
So you were saying, like, this whole era, you guys weren't saying was the best time for Transformer fans to be watching?
I'm going to be optimistic, because the one good thing that the Unicron trilogy gave us was at least an ongoing toy line. I mean, that's the one good thing. Okay, the shows were super shit, but you had, for the first time in ages, a long, ongoing toy line with cars and everything, and that was kind of cool, although the gimmicks were rather stupid. But it did then lead into another line of toys that we kind of digged. The classics, for instance. So there's a lot of Unicorn Trilogy technology, if you want to call it that, in the early classics toys. So I've got to be thankful for that. But yeah, the cartoons kind of sucked. Not Galaxy Force, though. I liked Galaxy Force.
It to a point. And then it's really dull up to a certain point. Like, once they get up to the speed planet and get past the let's get the golden trophy, once they get past that, it starts getting a bit more interesting. Up till then, it's a real slog.
The 12 episodes of one freaking race.
Oh, God. Oh, that went on for so long. Unnecessarily long.
Consists all of season 3 of Mask, so...
Now, okay, you guys have watched the Japanese version, right? And Now, do you consider it Override a female or a male?
Female.
You mean Nitro Convoy?
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's a dude. Because it otherwise makes the other scene with the human child look even more awkward than it should be.
Yeah. I have to go with male as well. Override is totally female, and that's fine, but then you get to Nitro Convoy, and that's a whole different kettle of fish. It's female, a nice male who likes to race a lot. And blushes.
Okay, we'll skip this era, but we're going to head on over to what is considered my favorite cartoon. A few years ago, we were introduced to animated. Now, how are your guys' views on animated? Love it? Hate it?
Oh, it's crap.
Oh.
Yeah, utterly terrible. It's just a complete mess. No, come on, it's the best thing Transformers has ever done.
I was about to say that Derek J. White is the most awful human being alive, you know, and then you had to spoil it, you know? Oh, damn.
Oh, good old animated. It's still my favorite toy line out of everything I've had. Mm-hmm. I was very happy to make it to BotCon this year because it was animated themed. I was like, yay! I've got my new toys. Love it.
I'm make an admission. Animated Shockwave, my favorite Shockwave.
Oh, really?
Oh, that moment when he changes color.
That was fantastic.
And you're just like, he's got his true colors, yay!
Yeah, I've just spent money on getting the purple Shockwave over from the States as well, thinking I'm just getting some pointless repaint, and then he turned color. It's like, yes! Get in!
Yeah.
I think it's the first time they've ever legitimized a repaint in a good way, rather than, he's just powered up. No, he was faking it before.
Now, I got a quick question for you guys. Now, when animated first came out, a lot of people were like, I hate the look of it. I do not like this. Were you one of these people that hated the look but then started to like it? Or did you like the new designs before it even came out?
Not so much the art style, because the art style straight off the bat kind of felt like the DCU animation universe type stuff. So I didn't really mind that so much, and I thought it was going to be interesting what it was going to be like in the world of Transformers. So I kind of dig that. What I didn't kind of like was the whole marketing campaign behind it prior to any footage being put out, which was, it's going to be called Transformers Heroes, and it's going to be aimed at a much younger demographic and all of that. And it was like, yeah, I'm not really that bothered about kiddie Transformers, even though it's aimed at kids anyway. But then the first episode came out, and it kind of blew me away, and I kind of digged it. I would say, though, I really started getting into it around the whole Season 2 era. Some people say that it kind of kicked in at Season 3. With me, it kind of digged in Season 2 when we had things like Sentinel on Earth and all that other stuff. That really started playing in at that point. I liked Sentinel and these humans and germs and snot and jazz is kind of funky awesome. in animated. I like jazz.
What about you, Andy? Did you like it at first, or?
It did take me a while to get used to the animation style and the art direction, but I think that was the idea with most people, especially when those first images came out of what the characters were going to look like and stuff. I was very hesitant, but then I'll be honest, it did also take me a while to get into the show because I felt it was kind of slow at first. But once it hit that like the first lockdown episode and the end of the season, you know, I was really into it by the end of that first season, and I couldn't wait for season two.
Nice.
And then obviously season three was the last one, and still waiting for that on DVD.
Yeah, good old Cartoon Network.
Just saying, it would be nice.
What about you, Matt? Did you like it at first or not?
No, I got in very late. I can't remember exactly when, but it was probably... The toy line was in the shops at least before I... Because I remember seeing the toy line just looking at it and going, you know what, it's just not doing it for me. And then it was the release of the Grimlock toy. No, it was the images of the Grimlock toy.
Wow.
And I picked up a Snarl and fell in love with it straight away. Picked up the Grimlock, then started watching the show, then realised what I'd been missing. And then bought every toy I could get my hands on and watched basically two seasons back to back in about 3 days.
Oh, nice. Oh, that'd be a good way to watch it, though.
Oh, it's epic stuff.
Now, were you guys like me, and were you just blown away when the first toys came out and you're just like, how amazing show accurate they really were? I love this toy line.
Thank you. We had such a year or something before the first stuff came out, and the first stuff that we got was like the Battle Begins set, which wasn't the best of the toys.
Mm.
The Deluxe Prime which was good, and then there was the Deluxe Megatron, which wasn't good. But once those other toys hit, the first wave, I think, was okay, but it got a lot better, especially by the end of it. It was really good by the end of the series, but those first toys were good. But they weren't amazing.
No. I was pretty much the same as everybody. My first experience into the animated toy line was in a trip to London, and I got the Battle Begins box set like practically everyone else, and my overall thoughts is Megatron was shit. But I also got a couple of deluxes. I got the Prowl bike. And I got Lockdown. The Prowl bike, I'm still kind of met about. But the Lockdown, I love the Lockdown. Even though he's taller than all the Voyagers combined, he's glorious. With his wide birthing hips and his hands that seem to want to slope, I still find he's an all right guy.
I remember picking up, you know, the Battle Begins pack, and Starscream and Black Arachnia. And let me tell you, Black Arachnia is an awesome toy. She was my favorite out of the bunch I got that first round. I still love her. She's so cool.
If you can keep her, if you can keep her fangs on while you're trying to transform her.
They can be a tad fiddly.
In fact, the entire toy line is very liable for parts to pop off, I've found. But it's designed to be that little bit more play-friendly, I think. Because for the Starscream mold, those rear fins just pop off all the time on all three of them for me.
That's just not a very good mold, unfortunately, for Starscream. They really needed to have made another one near the end of the series. Because I don't know about you, but all of the Starscream molds I have... The gimmick where the nose cone's meant to go in as you bring the legs down and the arms come out never worked.
So, all of mine have been absolutely fine.
Really?
Absolutely fine, yeah. The main problems I had with the toy line was obviously the Jetfire Jetstorm 2 pack, which was just the biggest anticlimax ever.
That's the only one that I didn't even care to pick up. Go, Timmy.
I was going to say about those two. I mean, I had them in the box for a very, very long time. Took them out of the box. After the umpteenth time where the hip joint wanted to just spring off and fly into the other end of the room, I finally took both of them and threw them in what I used to call my shit shelf, which is the one right at the bottom and hidden out of the way. I threw them in there. I was frustrated with them because nothing wanted to work with them at all. Things just broke off, and I meant broke off when you wanted to move them.
And that's trying to put them in the and putting them in the double jet mode was mine don't even fit together.
No, they were
terrible. They can't clip together. Just bad toys.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a good very idea, good design, but a very disappointing toy.
Good idea. They were trying to homage awesome Gal Gaigar figures. Of course it was an awesome idea.
Yeah, of course it bloody was. You know, symmetrical docking. Fantastic. Yeah, but it still sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, so animated, we all know, kind of got mistreated by Cartoon Network. You know, season 3 still hasn't come out on DVD, and season 4 never happened. What would you guys like to have seen happen in season 4?
Anything that Derek and Marty came up with.
Yeah. I think the explanation in the Allspark Alternate Volume 2, the episode explaining Cosmos, where he comes to Earth, loses his memory, lands in a B-movie prop lot, and hilarity ensues. That, for me, was animated. It's just an introduction of characters that we do know in some form, and then just taking them to the nth degree. So it's not just, it got the child appeal there, but there is so much of it that is just so good for the adults as well. That was the appeal of it. As long as they stuck to that premise, it was never going to go wrong. And, of course, the rumour that they were going to replace Bulkhead and Prowl with Ironhide and Jazz couldn't have been a bad thing, because Ironhide was shaping up to be a fairly cool little character.
I still think that the repaint, the three-way Jazz, I still think that was a what would have been for Jazz had the series continued, because there was no elite guard symbol on him or anything like that, and it had a nice shiny look to him. I think that would have been a possibility. I like the freeway Jazz.
Well, Andy and I got to talk to Derek J. Wyatt at BotCon, and he kind of gave us some little insights of what would have happened in season 4. And I don't think I've been so sad in the past year as when he was telling us what could have been. I was just like, no. A lot of it would have been on Cybertron, which I would have loved to have seen the Cybertron way of life.
We've had loads of more little cameos as well.
Which was half of the
fun of animated, was just looking at a scene and seeing 100 characters, you know, in the background. And then random ones like Grandus turning up.
Uh-huh.
You know, someone that nobody's thought of for 15 years, and there's Grandus in his big fat sumo wrestling glory.
the fact that the Autobot base was Metroplex.
Yeah. And you had Fort Max in there and Tripticon prison, and it was just the amount of care that was lavished upon it. And I mean,
have you managed to read that comic yet, Matt, from the BotCon thing? Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Loved every second of that.
I love that comic book. I think it's my favorite comic book I've read this year. I think it's probably because I was so want animated. I think that's why I loved it so much. It's like, yay.
I think the proof of the quality of the Cybertronian side of things is that we all pretty much vote This Is Why I Hate Machines as our favourite episode of the show.
Yeah.
When it's pretty much all on Cybertron.
Yes. The man who hates machines.
Yes. Oh, the irony.
Okay, so here's a question. Sorry, hate her or love her?
I think she was a wasted opportunity. I think there was great, great development with her from end of season 2 through to season 3, and then look where it went. Absolute dead silence from her, and then we had the ending with her. But somewhere at the beginning of season 3, we had a little bit of awesomeness. And that was it. I still think that the one character that had the bums rush in this was definitely Sari.
And now we've come to our newest TV show, Transformers Prime. Now, there's a lot of people that are still either like it or you pretty much hate this show. Where are you guys standing at?
I The thing is, I haven't watched enough Prime to really cast an overall judgment for it, because I was in the middle of a house move and I had no internet for over 2 months, which means I missed an awful lot of it. But from coming back, where the last episode I watched was Operation Breakdown, I think that there is some definite improvement in Prime. I still think it suffers from the whole first series syndrome, where you still haven't quite clicked with these characters. When you think about it, because of the sheer amount of gaps the Hub keeps on putting into it, we still aren't that many episodes into Prime.
Are we, what, on 16? Is it 16? 16 or something.
Yeah. So people going on, it's been going around for ages and you still ain't clicking. Well, it kind of hasn't, because of all the huge gaps the Hub keep on insisting and putting in there. But I think that some of the human characters on there are less annoying than what some people say they are. I definitely dig the whole thing with Mech at the moment. And I think the Autobots, apart from possibly Bumblebee, are at least some of the least annoying Autobots we've had in a long while. Especially the Coombs. I can't call them that. Not with Andy around, it has to be the more.
Coombs. Mr. Coombs.
Yeah. Mr. Coombs. Mr. Jeffrey.
Mr. Jeffrey. Well, Grimmy, what do you prefer it? Do you hate it? Is it growing on you?
I at the moment kind of nothing it. I'm not enjoying it, but if it wasn't Transformers, I'd have probably stopped watching it. But by the same token, all the other shows I was watching also seemed to be on indefinite hiatus, so there's nothing else to watch. It's all right. You know, the animation's getting better and better. The voice acting is superb. The script writing's good to very good, but the best episodes seem to be the ones that Ape animated. You know, the one with Arachnid when she first appeared was a great episode, but it was just an animated story that has been retold. And the characters, for the most part, are either so annoying I want to string that stupid little task up and beat her with sticks. Or I can't stand Miko. I really can't. The sooner she dies, the better.
You're breaking Andy's heart, man.
I'm only breaking Andy's heart because he fancies the voice actress.
She's cute. She's really cute.
Mice is such a bad thing. Saying it like it's a horrible thing.
But the Autobot characters I don't really care about, possibly other than Ratchet, who's becoming a little cliched already. Bulkhead, who's okay, but still isn't there. And then you've got the Cons, which are probably the better characters. Starscream's nicely rounding out. Knockout is excellent, as long as they stop focusing on the fact that he is a little bit camp.
One of those, are you?
Yes, I'm one of those.
I love Knockout.
I think he's great, but it's just, I just hope they don't play on it. You know, it's, if we had one joke about it and we understand it, we get it, but let's not push this. This is a kid show about robots beating the crap out of each other. I don't care about any of the rest of it. But at the moment, the best character in the entire thing is the one that doesn't speak.
Oh, okay.
Because he's a scary, scary bastard. And yeah, I think the best thing to come out of Prime for me so far is the fact that Frank Welker's still got it.
Oh, that was amazing. I thought that was one of the most amazing things when I first saw him on that first episode. I'm like, yay! What about you, Andy? Are you liking Prime?
Yeah, it's a show that's come on in leaps and bounds. I think the animation has vastly improved from those first 5 episodes. Everything's really solid. When you go back and you rewatch those episodes again, they actually hold up pretty well. It's like rewatching those first episodes of animated. You thought you didn't like them as much as you did. And it's the same with this. I've been back and I've watched it all the way through again, and it's actually grown on me quite a lot. I'm really digging it. I'm liking the animation style. I'm liking the 3D art. It's really nice 3D art. The voice acting, like Matt said, is top notch. I don't really have any problems with it. I just hope they get to keep going with it. because the story is evolving quite well. And I kind of would disagree with Matt that they're pinching animated stories. I think they're just using the general story cliches that you need to go with for character development, and it's an interesting way of introducing characters. Because you could argue that animated stole from Beast Wars if you wanted to, because they had that episode with... what's he called?
Wasp.
The crab. Rampage.
Oh.
When Black Arachnia and Silverbolt were running away from... you know, Rampage. You could argue that that had the same kind of vibe because it was someone being hunted by another character who was just introduced.
It is cliche storytelling, but even my friend who isn't a massive Transformers fan, you know, but has watched most of the recent stuff, did say straight away as soon as he saw the Arachnid episode, oh, it's the one with Lockdown and Ratchet.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have those kind of things close to each other, then you are going to have those kind of similarities. But they are a storytelling thing that appear in many kind of shows.
It's a,
I think it's a little harsh to say it's just an animated story. I'm starting to really enjoy it. Like I say, I'm looking forward to see what the season finale is going to be. Because theoretically, according to IMDb, David Kaye's meant to play as Hound or some kind of character in the future. Whether that's true or not, we won't find out until obviously the end of the season, but I'm sure we can.
All right, David Kaye.
I asked David Kaye directly about that on Twitter when his name popped up on IMDb. I said, David, can you either confirm or deny that you're doing an upcoming part in Transformers Prime? IMDb says so. He says, well, if IMDb says so, I can hardly deny it, can I?
Nice.
Well, Andy, you had the opportunity to talk to a bunch of the creationists of Prime while you were at BotCon.
Oh, I stalked those people.
Yeah, I know you did. So can you give us a little insight of what they told you about the show?
I was asking questions like, how do you get around the fact that the show is so edgy in the fact that humans have died and robots have died quite horrendously, and they were quite honest in saying, one, it was a little bit of luck for some of the things that got through censors, and the others, it was like, well, it's just a robot, so we can push it quite far. For the humans, they're allowed to get away with like cars being thrown into helicopters and no one getting out, because most of the time you won't notice that unless you're paying attention. If you're a kid, that won't, you know, that won't sink in. And I'm guessing that obviously doesn't sink in with the sensors either, which is a good thing. Other things I was asking were just like, is everything going well? And are you planning for the DVD to put on a good amount of commentaries? And I was trying to get them to confirm that they will put on more than one commentary. Because I was saying, you know, I really hate getting a DVD with one commentary on for an entire season. And they were like, yeah, same here. And I was like, well, fix that. Make sure it got more than that.
Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah. You know, I was just asking about the process and how the job worked and you know, just the general stuff. They said, we're not going to tell you any spoilers. And I went, good. I don't want to know. I don't want to know any spoilers. I want to be entertained when it comes out next. Because we should have a new episode this week, right?
Yes.
Good.
This Saturday. Yay, it's back. Because the Americans are done with their vacation for...
ruining my...
One thing
I would say as an improvement for Prime is I would like them to focus on some of the other characters, bar Bulkhead and RC. I think we need more time with Prime and Ratchet. Because we haven't really had their episode yet. It's just been developing the relationships between the humans and their respective Transformers, bar Bumblebee, who can't talk yet. But we will, in theory, get an episode that shows how Bumblebee lost his voice. So we will get... I'm sure we will get a talking Bumblebee if we're seen into the past. I can't imagine they would do an entire episode of his past without him saying a word.
He lost his voice due to, you know, too much smoking.
Nice.
No, there's a good anti-smoking campaign.
For the kids. That would be the educational video for the kids. Don't do smokes. Don't do
Energon Cigars.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move away from Prime and come to our last little bit of Transformers fandom. Movies. Bayformers. Now, this is probably the one thing that will separate the fandom more than anything. How did you guys first perceive the movie when it first came out in 2007? The first time you watched the movies.
I seriously liked. I liked the fact that we had a live-action Transformers movie, and for the most part, it didn't suck. I honestly didn't think we were going to get any more of them, because for the most part, they killed Megatron off and all that other stuff. It definitely felt like, for the most part, a self-contained movie. And I was down with that. I didn't mind the military aspect all that much, because, of course, they were going to obviously have like a full human cast in this. And I think the only person that really ruined it for me was Witwicky.
You didn't like Sam?
No. I'm talking about the mama.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Sam, at this point, wasn't too bad, I suppose. Wasn't too bad.
What about you, Andy?
Shy's head wasn't too big at that point.
Yeah. What about you, Andy? Did you enjoy the first movie?
I liked it to a point. I liked it as a Transformers movie, but as an actual movie, it's a popcorn movie without much to it. But it was fun enough to watch. I did watch it multiple times when it was at the cinema. I did go a couple of times, and it was way too much about the human still. I don't care about the whole, oh, well, it's the story about a boy in his car. It's like, that's not what I want to see, if I'm honest, for a Transformers movie. But hey, even if it wasn't amazing to me, it brought in a lot of fans, and it did really well for Hasbro, so I can't fault it for that. I can't fault it for Revenge of the Fallen, though.
What about you, Grimmy? Did you like the first movie?
Yeah, I liked it at the time. I think I went off it a bit when the DVD first came out, and I saw it again for like probably about the fourth time by that point. But I think it's actually survived fairly well, and it still looks good and is quite a good film to date. I disagree with Andy when he says it's too much about humans. I think you've got to have the human there for the basic interaction with the audience.
No. Toy Story. Where are the humans in Toy Story? Where are the humans in Cars? Where are they, Matt?
Different thing, though, isn't it?
Bullshit! I'm calling bullshit. I hate that argument. You're meant to relate to the Transformers because they're humanoid personalities. That's how we relate to them.
Oh, absolutely. But are you telling me that if you didn't have Shia LaBeouf and some slut on his arm throughout any of those three films, you would have had the returns at the box office that they've had?
I can't say. That is a very difficult thing to say, because I don't know what people go to see these movies for. Because if you look at how much the Transformers are in, there's maybe enough for us to go in, but there's really not enough for people to connect to any of those robots, really. Because as we've talked about, at least in the last movie review, there's no character development, really, for a lot of these characters. They're just there.
I know, I loved the first movie, though, when it came out. The technology, when you see the first time Bumblebee transforms on the big screen, to me that was very exciting. Mm. Or the first time when you hear that Arrival to Earth music and you see Optimus. Oh, yes. And still, that's one of my favorite scenes I've ever seen to this day, is the first time you see all the Autobots meet up with Sam, Michaela. Still one of the best, in my opinion. But what do you guys think of it now? To the movies today, I mean, do you hope they continue? Or you hoped that they stopped, or they should have stopped with the first one?
I think they should have stopped with the first one.
I think they should stop now, give it 4 years, reboot.
Yeah, I'd agree. At the very least, reboot it. But again, it brought in money for Hasbro, and you can't deny it didn't do that, so it's doing what it needed to do, essentially. Yeah. So I guess that's good for Hasbro, but it could have done a lot better.
I'm just pissed because they ruined Shockwave.
I thought Shockwave looked cool.
he looked absolutely cool, but, you know, Frankenstein's monster, that's all he was.
Oh.
That's all he
well,
was.
Do you like the designs of the movies?
No.
You do not like the movie designs? Okay.
Not really.
No. They're too bitty with the toys.
They're too bitty, and a lot of, well, the Decepticons especially are, for the most part, one color. Well, the non-main characters, and even like Starscream and Megatron, both gray. In the newest movie, Soundwave's white.
Yeah.
They're all very monotone colors.
And the designs don't translate well to plastic.
No.
You know, we haven't had... we've had a few very good toys out of that line that are based on the movie designs, but for the most part, they've had to step away from the movie designs and go for a more classic aesthetic to get toys that appeal to a wider market. I mean, the likes of Lockdown and Bludgeon from the end of Revenge of the Fallen were without doubt standout ones, and they could have been released in their classics packaging without a problem at all.
I'm not saying they're bad
toy lines, but they don't translate well.
I think the general movie-going audience as well sometimes had a bit of trouble defining which character was which, just because of the designs, and some of them kind of blended together. So, I think that the designs were definitely a problem.
I kind of agree with you guys to a point, that I still think they gave the character's personality. I think the standouts for me were people like Jetfire, where he was meant to be like a crotchety old warrior, and it showed. But I do agree. yeah, I know. But for the most part, I kind of dig the more blocky ones. But then I can also understand why they weren't used in these movies. I mean, The aesthetics, especially with G1, it's definitely more suitable for an animation medium more than a live action medium. That's it. I think the closest we get to anything like that is people like Sentinel Prime and Dark of the Moon. At some point, Optimus Prime as well. I think they were the closest you could possibly get. But the rest, yeah, I totally agree. I don't like the Starscream. I don't like some of the other ones that look more like insects than robots. But that's it. That's my opinion. And Shockwave sucks.
Okay, well, we'll wrap up this conversation with just a few quick questions. You guys should be able to spout them out really quick. Favorite Transformer?
Who are you asking?
We'll start with Timmy.
Hey.
Shockwave sucks.
You...
Overall, Multiverse, Decepticon animated Shockwave. It used to be G1 Shockwave, but I think animated Shockwave has a little bit more meat and potatoes to him. Autobot-wise, G1 Perceptor, I love that little guy.
Andy? Favorite?
Six-Shot.
Six-Shot.
Oh, you ninja consultant lover, you.
I know.
And what about you, Matt?
I honestly don't know.
Come on, you're called King Grimmick for something.
Yeah, because I needed a name, and that's all I came up with at the time, and it stuck like crap to a rabbit's fur.
Matt likes Wheelie.
No, I honestly can't think of it. It depends on the day, you know. It's I'm a big fan of some of the Seekers. Anyone but the normal suspects of Wheelie and that lot that everyone hates, and this, you know, toss bag like Rodimus Prime as well. Can't stand that game.
Wow. Toss bags.
See, that's what was going to be my next question. What was your least favorite character of all time?
I'm going to go with Highbrow, because the one episode he appears in G1, he doesn't do much, but does nothing offensive. The toy's awesome. He's good in the comics, and he was awesome in
animated. Okay, so that's your favorite.
Yeah, let's go with that.
All right. So who's your guys' least favorite?
I'll just say it. Kick-Ass.
That's a good one.
Yeah, if you're going with Kicker, I'll go with Alpha Q.
Kicker, Sorry.
I'll go with Murder Prime, or sorry, Movie Prime.
I think I agree with you there, Andy. I have no actual love for him.
No, I think I prefer him to Prime.
Oh,
at
please.
Least he's got personality, even if he is a psychopath.
The guy has no remorse. The guy has no. It's like, that's it. Blow your brains away. Blammo. I'm Dirty Harry with Peter Cullen's voice.
See, if it had been Clint Eastwood's voice, you'd have loved it.
Yeah,
if it wasn't called Prime, I would have probably enjoyed it. And it was a Decepticon.
Yeah.
Actually, I know who my favourite Transformer was going back. It's Beast Wars Megatron or Beast Machines Megatron when he's in the little surveillance drone.
Oh.
I absolutely love the way he waggles his little claw fingers and stuff. Just the design on that and the expression and the character they got through. David Kay trapped in a tiny little drone. I love that.
I'm a G1 fangirl, so you probably could guess who my favorite is.
Starscream.
I love Starscream and Bumblebee. Come on. My first car was Bumblebee, was G1 Bumblebee. But I think I'll surprise people with the one that I hate the most. I cannot stand Skylynx.
Oh, he's a pretentious bastard.
I cannot stand him. Yeah. I'd take Willy over him any day.
Oh, yeah. How have we all forgotten Daniel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Daniel doesn't hold a torch to Kicker. Come on, you got to be fair in that.
I suppose so. At least Daniel had the decency to die in continuity.
Yeah.
Him and Wheelie got killed in one of the Transformers Universe comics. RC went into mourning and then reformat as a giant spider. gotta love that period when nobody was really in control of the Transformers.
Okay, and one last question to ask y'all. What Transformer are you most like? Not the one that you want to be, but who do you say you most relate to? Timey.
I'm still thinking about it.
I don't know. Maybe Beachcomber, I guess.
You're a Beachcomber?
I guess, because I'm laid back.
You like to get high and have big weapons?
I like to dip my body in gold and become, Electrum. I like my Electrum body.
Yeah,
no one can touch me.
Beachcomber was never liable to cut up 100 other Autobots just because they looked at him funny.
Nicole asked me the one I was most like, not the one I most wanted to be.
Yeah. See, I have a personal love for Beachcomber because he was my very, very first Transformer I bought. So.
I suppose I might as well just say Kicker. No. I think the closest equivalent I can really pick is just insert random Dinobot here where I'm at work, because I just sort of charge gung-ho into the bloody work when somebody pisses me off.
There you go.
That's it.
What about you, Matt?
Oh, I don't know. Who's the most miserable one that finds pleasure in only small things in life, but for the most part, I just want to see everyone dead?
Gears.
Gears or Ironhide, I think.
Oh, you're so close to Glenn, then.
I've become more and more like Glenn over the last couple of months. I really have.
Is that a bad thing, Matt? You're making that sound like a bad thing.
The thing is, I can find pleasure in life, in places. I'm sure Glenn actually sucks it out through choice. I love the man if he's listening. I think he's a legend. He's an inspiration to me. I'd guess Ironhide probably.
I could see his Ironhide.
Yeah, maybe because I'm just spoiling for a fighter a lot of the time when I'm at work.
Well, thank you guys for coming to our little round table. I appreciate you, y'all. It's been great. We'll start with Timmy here. If people want to find you, how can they find you or get in contact with you?
The Nerdsphere, which this very show is a part of.
Yeah, that's true.
Good pitch.
You can also find me in places like the Transformers.net, to which there is some projects are brewing there, but I can't say yet. The Nerdsphere again, and the Nerdsphere again, and the Nerdsphere again. You can also find me on YouTube under Timmy2Wimey and the Transformers.net channels. That's it, really. I've been told by Mikey to pimp myself out more. So love me, love me, love me, love me, love my shows, love all my friends' shows. We're on the Nerdsphere Network.
All right. Andy, how can people find you if they want to find you?
But why would they even want to? I'm on YouTube under the name Cobra Commander TFW. I'm also on the Moonbase 2 podcast as myself, surprisingly. I think that's about it, really. Right?
I was going to say, you can also find them on the Gog Dog channel, eating disgusting things and drinking.
Yeah, Andy Tries, the series is called, where I think there's one more episode to go out.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Matt, how can people find you?
Oh, pretty much all over the bloody place at the moment. And you can find me on Twitter, at King Grimmy, because somebody already had my name. Same on YouTube as well. Except for the one on Twitter is a guy in Newcastle, and one on YouTube is a guy that looks like he shags chickens.
What?
give my name back, you bastard. You can also, of course, find me over at FullmetalHero.com and on the Underbase podcast and on the Kapow Toys YouTube channel. And that's pretty much, I think that's everything. If anybody wants to try and find me anywhere else, you'd have to come to my work.
Yeah. So basically, these men get around, you should be able to find them.
Wow.
In the most non-slutty way you could take that.
You can also find me on Twitter under Timmy2Wimey, and don't ask me silly questions.
Don't talk to me, is probably what I say.
Yeah, just back away. Back away slowly.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you all again, and we'll continue on with the rest of our show.
Well, thank you for having us.
Oh, anytime.
He's got chicken legs.